You know, it's a pretty furious news cycle right now, both locally and nationally, actually. Kevin Rennie, the title of his most recent column is Why Connecticut Leaders Are Fighting the Wrong War. And I leave it to him to summarize. You should go to current.com, read the whole thing. Of course. Keep it going. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
So what war are they fighting, and what war should they be fighting?
They have been fighting over whether or not there'll be three members or five members on whatever authority they either maintain or create to regulate utilities in Connecticut. I mean, they've just been going on and on and on about it since December. And all that energy they've expended, and it hasn't changed our utility bills by a nickel.
Right.
And part of this seems to be a combination of discontent with the head of PURA, Marissa Gillette, and the desire of State Senator John Fonterra to become either a member of, a member of PURA before the legislative session started, or in a new quasi-public authority.
So let me ask you, Kevin, you know,
yes.
We'll get to what, you know, because I agree. I mean, I've said this a lot of times. It's like, you know, we're spending all this time on this and we're not actually working towards solving the problem, which is, you know, the highest energy prices in the continental U.S. And but what I mean, the way if they expand it, they make it quasi-public, add Cheeseman and Fonterra is and I mean, is that a good progression of what's going on now? Because a lot of people have problems with right now because they think that Marissa Gillette just does what she wants.
Well, there's ample cause to think that. I mean, it's been the law for almost 6 years that there should be five members of the of PURA, and the governor has simply ignored that for reasons that have never been clear, and he hasn't really explained it, and yet. You know, we're at a time where we in Connecticut are going to be needing to defend the rule of law. It feels like every day, sometimes throughout the day, and that the governor has ignored a law that he signed. He signed that provision into law in 2019, and then he's ignored it.
Yeah, it is certainly strange. And now you broker a deal to put in place what should have already been in place, which again makes, to your point, makes us feel like we're running in place. Kevin Rennie, Hartford Current.
In the meantime, I think there's an opening to increase the supply of natural gas into Connecticut because New York is planning to expand the Iroquois gas line, natural gas line, and it runs through Connecticut. And in order to do that, you know, part of the deal should be we get more gas.
Yeah, it would be great. I mean, there's talk about, you know, the shale in Pennsylvania, and I mean, there's a lot of different options. I mean, I think there's no option that's immediate unless you get rid of the public benefits charge, and that is not nearly the panacea that people think it is. It's not the biggest, it's not a huge number, but it is a number that would certainly bring the cost down. Can I pivot to the special ed funding stuff?
Yes, certainly. You're the host.
I'm not pushing a thread here that I think doesn't exist. I'm not trying to create something out of nothing, but it feels like there has to be some tension within the Democratic Party here in Connecticut. When Lamont goes away, they pass something that he doesn't want, and he comes home and he says he's going to veto it, and now they're possibly talking about overriding that veto, and this is all in the same party.
Yes, that's correct, and I said, I'm not sure this is the hill to die on for Governor Lamont. That money is likely to be included in some sort of budget bill this year. I think he's very mindful of spending. He was correct when he told you that, and he has been a prudent fiscal steward of Connecticut's finances, and he's right, it has made a difference. But I think he could have, this didn't just start the week that he left. I think if he were a little more engaged with the legislature and the day-to-day doings of the legislature, he might have been able to head this off.
Do you think they're going to try to override it?
Oh, I think they probably will try to override it.
Now, and then my real question, you know, because I've asked him enough of this kind of stuff, including just 2 weeks ago when he was in studio, but, you know, I was on the fence, and then, you know, there was a stretch of time where everyone's saying, you know, he's going to go for a third term. You know, what else? You know, his wife is enjoying her work, and he's 60% approval rating, blah, blah, blah. But if there's some ugliness intra-party, do you think this any of this would influence his decision whether to pursue a third term?
No, he had far more ugliness at the beginning of his first term.
With the tolls and everything?
The Democratic Party. Partially, mostly over tolls. Tolls was the sort of the instrument of the ugliness. But, it, you know, the governor has been popular for his first 5 years now. But that first year was a calamity. I think his approval rate was in the mid-30s at one point, as that year came to, it was nearing an end. And it was his very steady leadership during the pandemic that changed all that. But he's, you know, I think sometimes we forget how much Ned Lamont really likes politics and how long he's been in it. And, it was 20 years ago that he began his first statewide campaign for the U.S. Senate. And that was that campaign against Joe Lieberman attracted worldwide attention.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he beat him in the primary, and then Lieberman didn't quit and beat him in the general as an independent, right? I mean, that was
it
was incredible. So you think he's in for another?
I think it is more likely than not, but I would not place a wager on it. But I do think it's more likely than not. I do think he likes it. I think for the most part, he has mastered the job. And, I don't think that there's anything calling out to him to do next.
Yeah. You have 30, 45 seconds of thoughts on what's happening nationally?
We have entered a dark age. And the best description of the absolutely disgraceful meeting at the White House on Friday was when a photo of Trump and Zelensky, one was a man without a suit, and the other was a suit without a man.
Oh, I've seen that meme.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes. Sometimes they're memes because they're true.
Yeah. Well, that's your opinion. I mean, I'm not saying
these
you're
these are
right.
All my opinions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
We appreciate your time as always, Kevin. And you go to current.com if you want to read his recent salvo about how we're talking about the wrong things when it comes to energy here in the state. Kevin, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, Kevin Rennie. And again, Daily Ructions, as well as his weekly column in the Hartford Current.